The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. You know, I prefer it when it's warm, especially when I'm speaking, because it makes everybody drowsy. I like that. I like to actually watch people fall asleep. And I was telling the kids on Thursday night, I used to have a psychology professor in the adolescent psych class, and I used to try to sleep during that class. It's the only class I try to sleep in. And it was, I think it was the comfortable seats and the boring professor. It was like a combination of the two things. So anyway, we hope that this morning that you won't fall asleep, even though it's a little bit warm in here. But the things that we're going to be talking about, not just today, but just over the next few weeks, I think are vitally important to us as people that want to be followers of Jesus. And so when Jerry first came to me with this, and I can talk about Jerry because he's not here. He's out on call, so he's in Nyland or something. But when Jerry first came to me and said, I think this new series should be called Manifesto, I thought to myself, what am I going to do with that? My mind started working, and I was thinking, what sort of artwork am I going to come up with? What am I going to do that's going to kind of get the idea of Manifesto across? And since I never really explained kind of what we came up with for Manifesto, the idea is that God has given us a directive, and it's a directive that's basically targeted at people that are sincerely wanting to be a follower of Jesus. And so those are the people there at the bottom. It's just, that's us. Yes. See, some of you are doing that, so we actually took that picture here. Just kidding. And then the red book represents that actual message that God shared with His followers. And then the seal, I thought was very important to realize that it has God's stamp on it. Or, you know, have you ever seen a wax seal? We don't do that today because if we have an envelope, we lick it, close it up, you know, so we don't use the wax seal. But the wax seal was actually something that was very important because it not only did it seal the envelope, but it also signified that whatever that document was, that it actually came from the person that wrote it. And so I hope that you'll see the things that I say this morning as being from God, the one who wrote these things. So let's pray and ask God just to open our eyes, and then we'll get into this. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you, God, for the fact that Jesus sat His disciples down and shared with them these things that are so vitally important for them if they were going to be followers of Him. And God, we look back at that conversation, that dialogue that He had with His disciples in the flesh there, and we realize that these things are for us today. God, if we want to be a follower of You, if we want to follow after Your Son Jesus, we need to get these things down. We need to have a clear understanding. And God, we know that they're directly from You. It's a message from You to us. And we thank You for that this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5. The title of my message this morning is Sticks and Stones. And I have to confess that I went on the website, the Remnant website, and I was looking back through messages that we had done in the past. And if you ever do this, we have like two or three pages on the website that are just, you know, link after link of podcasts for you to listen to. And those poor, lonely podcasts, they're just sitting there on the server waiting for you to download them and listen to them. So I encourage you to go do that. Don't, you know, hurt their feelings. But so I'm looking at the sermon titles, and I realized that Jerry actually gave a message entitled Sticks and Stones about a year and a half ago. We were going through a series, and James and Jerry shared a message. And so I thought to myself, can I still use that title? And then realizing that Jerry was on call also kind of helped. So, sticks and stones. You've heard the expression, sticks and stones may what? Oh, I haven't heard that one yet. That's a new one. What was it? Sticks and stones may, but words will never hurt me. For some reason, that did not have the bite to it that I wanted it to on the playground? No. You know, someone would call me a name, you know, hey, stupid, or you know, kids can be cruel. Hey, big nose. I don't know. They had names that they would call. And so, you know, I would turn around and I would want to say, sticks and stones may break my bones. And I would get halfway through the anecdote and then I would realize, does this even make sense? Am I really communicating a message? And then I would just kind of give up on it. Or I would try that one about, I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. You guys really missed out a lot if you didn't use that one in your childhood. So anyway, but I'm taking the whole idea of sticks and stones because the last thing you want is for somebody to call you a name or to ridicule you or discredit you or say something that's not true about you. Okay? That's the last thing you want to have happen. As a matter of fact, a person could be sweet to you their entire lifetime, and in one moment they can completely destroy your friendship with them by saying something insulting to you. Has it happened to you before? Yeah, it's tough to forgive too, because you remember those things. I mean, someone could compliment you all day long, and the next day you forgot what they said. But someone tells you that your shoes look funny, and the next day you're like, dang, I'm not going to wear those shoes again. They look funny. And that was just their opinion, but it stuck with you. Okay, so it's maybe not the best news, but Jesus told his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount that people were going to insult them and ridicule them and be hostile towards them. That's not good news. There's a lot of promises in the Bible that I like to claim and hold on to. You know, promises like where Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love that promise, and I want to hang on to that one because I love knowing the fact that no matter where I am or what's going on, God is right there with me. He's not going to let me go out of his hand. So I can hang on to a promise. But when Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have difficulty, you're going to have problems. As a matter of fact, people hated me, and therefore people are going to hate you, and they're going to make fun of you. That's not really a promise that I want to hang on to, but it still contains just as much truth. And so we're going to kind of look at that whole idea. And I mentioned before that when Jesus sat his disciples down and gave them this message, it wasn't like Jesus, you know, had like a sermon written out. That wasn't really the style. That wasn't the way that the rabbis would teach. They would actually sit down, and then their students would just kind of sit down at a lower level than them, and they would begin to talk and converse and analogies and word pictures and these sorts of things. And so that's what Jesus is doing. But he starts out the Sermon on the Mount with a thing called the Beatitudes. And last couple Sundays, we talked about the Beatitudes, and we realized that they came from the Latin word beatus. It's not actually in the Bible, but people have called the Beatitudes the Beatitudes, and so that's the name they're stuck with. The word beatus simply means happy. The term blessed is kind of a term that gets thrown around a lot, and kind of in a churchy community, you hear the word blessed. Oh, I'm blessed, and you don't really know what it means. It could mean like, you know, I had a really good lunch. It could mean my kids are all turning out great. It could mean I saved some money on my car insurance. I mean, it's hard. It's kind of a real general term. But what it actually means is I'm full of happiness. I have joy. And the funny thing about it is that Jesus begins to share about these things that should fill you with joy and that should make you happy. And some of them don't really make me happy. Some of them are things that I don't want to happen to me. And I want to be as far away from those things as possible. That's so vitally important. It's vitally important that we hear the things that God has for us, that we connect with these things. Because when the flow is cut off and we're not receiving the directive from God, the system begins to break down. And you know what I'm talking about. When you don't spend as much time with God and you become more and more distant from God, things in your life just aren't gelling the way. Now, I'm not saying that when in communication with God, everything is perfect, okay? Because I would be deceiving you to say that if you're walking with God, you're going to have the perfect life. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Things happen, and that's life. Yesterday, I did something I haven't done in a long, long time. I have a water system at our house where there's a pump that pumps water from the canal across the street, the West Main. It pumps it into our cisterns, and then from there, I have another pump that pumps it out into a pressure tank, and from there, it goes into the house. Okay, so it's kind of a water system that requires maintenance. My problem is that one of the things that requires maintaining is that you have to go and clean out the foot valve that's in the canal. Okay, so it's like below the surface of the water down in the West Main. So not a lot of people want to just jump into the West Main and swim around until they find this foot valve. But I did that yesterday, and it had been since last summer since I'd done this thing, and so I'm like, man, I really need to do it. I could tell my pump's working too hard, and it's clogging things down. And so I get down, and I'm getting ready to actually jump in the water, and I'm looking at the water, and you know, on the surface of canal water, doesn't really seem like it's moving that fast. But Dippy Duck told me a long time ago that although the surface is moving slowly, the current is moving rather quickly. And so I was kind of caught between two things. I didn't want to like not jump out far enough to where I landed in the dirt and the mud at the edge. And yet I didn't want to jump out too far to where the current that the duck warned me about. So I was kind of a little dilemma there. Finally, I just closed my eyes and jumped in there. No, I didn't scream, but I did jump, and I jumped out as far as I could. And that duck was right. The current started looking, but actually I started out a little ways down so that by the time I composed myself, I'd be right about where our foot valve was. And so I finally got that thing cleared and finally got it going. And then I swam around for a little while because it was so nice. Once I got in the water, I was like, no, I'm staying in the canal all day. It really felt good. And then I finally got out and I went to the hose and checked it, and the water pressure was great. And I was so proud, and I started thinking to myself, you know, there's so many things that just block our foot valve and just cloud that up, and we allow things to just get in our life and just block that communication between us and God. And when that breaks down, man, things are miserable. Thank God that God can speak directly to us through his word. And so here's Jesus sitting, speaking directly to his disciples. And we had a direct flow of communication. And this is what he said. We're looking at Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12 this morning. He says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people insult you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Okay, so just this wonderful piece of news that Jesus shares with his disciples. And Jesus is saying, you know what? People are not going to like you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to try to hurt you. But you know what you need to do? You need to start carrying a weapon. That's what you need to do. No, he didn't say that. He said, what you need to do is you need to be filled with joy. I'm describing you as a person that's blessed, a person that's happy. Why is that? That blows me away. I'll tell you what it is, and this will kind of give you a little insight into things we're going to talk about this morning. But if you're being ridiculed or you're being made fun of, and the reason you're being made fun of is not because of your hair or because of the way you dress or whatever, but if it's because of the fact that you're trying to live a life that's honoring to God, guess what? God says rejoice because you know you're doing something right, because that's going to be a direct result of trying to live for God. You're going to face opposition. Something's going to come along. Someone's going to come along and say something or try to put a stop to what you're doing, and realize with joy that you're on the right track. You're on the right path. You're doing the right thing. So let's focus on verse 10. It says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And I believe this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. Your commitment to God will meet opposition. Your commitment to God will meet opposition. This is like a bona fide guarantee that if you are showing any type of commitment to your Savior, you're going to face some opposition. Now, it would stand to reason that if you're not receiving any opposition at all, that maybe you have to come back and question your motives and what are you doing wrong? What is not happening because you're not facing that opposition that Jesus promised? Your desire to live a life that's pleasing to God will attract attention. Don't be surprised when that attention is negative. So there's two sides to this. When you're trying to live for God and you're trying to do things right in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God, you're going to receive some attention from people that respect that and find that to be something that they want to also aspire to. But then on the other hand, you're going to find people that see you doing that and they'll say things like, oh man, that person's just a holier than thou. You know, that person thinks they're all that, or that person, they have to live by a book of rules. And you'll hear all kinds of things. You'll run the whole gamut of insults. But the fact is, if you're committed to God and your life shows it, there's going to be opposition. Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." And Paul, you know, I don't think Paul chooses his words lightly. And when he says it's a privilege to be suffering for Christ, I honestly think that he meant every word. And obviously, God's Spirit told him to write those things. And so it is a privilege to suffer for Jesus. I think about the suffering that Jesus went through for me, and then I compare that to the suffering that I go through for him, and I'm a little embarrassed, just to be honest with you. I mean, Jesus gave his life. He went through torture that we can't even comprehend. He went through a torture that the Romans had perfected to inflict the most amount of pain. And that was just the physical torture that he went through. Jesus also went through mental anguish and emotional anguish because he was bearing upon his shoulders the sins of the world. And God the Father at one point turned his back on God the Son. And that is what Jesus was going through. And then I think about the things that I'm going through. Someone cuts me off in traffic. Man, that makes me mad. But it didn't hurt. Someone maybe, says something that's not true about me. Well, that's insulting. I'm a little bit upset about that. But in all honesty, am I suffering in a way that Christ suffered for me? It should be an honor. I should consider it a privilege to suffer for the one who suffered for me so deeply. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Now, in the United States, we talk about persecution. It has a totally different meaning than it would be in a country where it would be a crime to own a Bible or to pray or to meet together as a church. And trust me, there are believers all over the world in many countries that are grateful just to have a scrap of the Bible, just a few verses. They're grateful when they can meet together in a group and study the Bible and not get caught and put in prison. We don't even know what it would be like to be persecuted. I feel persecuted if I wait too long in the fast food drive-thru. I'm like, what's the deal? Is this a personal agenda this lady has against me that she can't get my order right? I mean, that's my persecution. And it doesn't even compare to what people are experiencing that are truly following after Christ and reaping the results that are negative. There's a suffering, and I don't think that you're going to get through your entire life of following Christ and not experience some form of persecution. And maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the road, it'll be illegal for us to do what we're doing right now. We don't know that. It could happen. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus will suffer persecution. It's your commitment to God will meet opposition. Let's look at verse 11. Jesus goes on, he says, "God blesses you when people insult you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers." So Jesus says, be filled with joy that comes only from God when someone insults you or lies about you or persecutes you because you're following me. See, that's the condition on this. It's not that someone's just insulting you because you've been insulting to them or you've been neglecting them or whatever it might be. But the only thing that you're doing that's worthy of being insulted for is that you're trying to live a life that brings honor to Christ. If that's happening to you, God says, be happy, be joyful, because you are doing exactly what I've called you to do. And again, I'm going to say it probably one more time this morning before we're done, but if that's not happening to you on some level, then again, you have to kind of look at your life and say, what am I doing wrong? Is my light not shining bright enough? People can't see that God is in my life and that I want to honor him with my life. Do I blend in with the crowd that much to where people don't even really recognize that there's something different about me? And those are hard questions to ask yourself. But I mean, imagine being the disciples. They're sitting right there at Jesus' feet, and Jesus is 10 feet away from them, telling them like it is. I believe he's telling them here, following Jesus may cost you your reputation. Following Jesus may cost you your reputation. See, because someone could say something about you that's not true, and in the eyes of men and in the eyes of your friends, you won't look as good as you did before. You might lose friendships over a lie that someone tells about you. Or maybe the thing that someone says is so insulting that it's something you carry with you through life. Or maybe at some point someone even wants to do physical harm to you because you're trying to live a life that's honoring to God. I think the point here that Jesus is making, as you live your life in pursuit of the things of God, there will be those who seek to discredit you. There will be those who seek to discredit you. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 12 and 13. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, "We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment." Pretty strong verbiage here. I mean, Paul basically is saying, people are going to treat you like garbage. They're going to treat you like trash. It's going to be done because you have a love for Christ that's causing you to live a life that's pointing others towards Him. John 15, 18 through 20, here's a verse I tried to sneak in a little bit. "If the world hates you," and by the way, this is Jesus also again speaking to his disciples, and I just love the way Jesus words this. He says, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of this world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you." What's Jesus saying? He's saying, hey, you can identify with me on something. I suffered, you're going to suffer. I was persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. Obviously, you're never going to be persecuted on the same level that Christ was. But Jesus is saying, look, don't feel bad when people say I hate you because you want to live for God. Guess what? They already told me that a long time ago. Let's look back at verse 12. And here's the verse that we're all looking forward to, where Jesus just straight out says, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. A great reward awaits you in heaven. Have you ever sat through a meal that wasn't really that great because you knew the dessert was going to be awesome? The meal is okay, but you got your eyes on the dessert. Or maybe you're like me, and the meal, you're just like so consumed with the meal and you eat a little too much, and then all of a sudden you discover there is dessert. And you're like, oh man, I didn't leave any room. But I'm going to make room. Bring it on. Here's the thing. When there's something that you're looking forward to that you know with a certainty is going to happen, and God has promised us that for everything that you experience on His behalf, the suffering that you experience, the persecution that you come across because you're trying to live for Him, God is going to reward you for that. And we don't know all the details of the reward. And let me just say this. For me, it would be reward enough to stand face to face with Jesus and have Him say, you did a good job. Well done, my faithful servant. To me, that would be reward enough. But yet, God chooses to reward us beyond that, and we can't even understand it, and it can't even be described to us. But we do know that the things that we experience here on earth, for Christ's sake, we're going to be rewarded for. And then He says, remember that the prophets were persecuted in the same way. So He says, you know what? This has been happening for a long time. You're in good company. That's what He's saying. You're in good company. This has been going on for a long time. People who have dedicated their lives and committed their lives to serving me have been persecuted all down through the centuries. And so you are in good company. As you experience rejection or ridicule because of your faith in Jesus, realize that you're not alone. You know, it's so easy for us to feel all alone, especially when you're in a place where you're being insulted because you're doing something that's honoring to God. And sometimes you can feel like you're the only person that's taking a stand for something that's right. And maybe in that particular moment, in that room, in that situation, maybe you are the only person that's taking a stand for what's right. But Jesus is saying, you know what? People have been doing it for centuries. You're not alone. And the amazing thing is that the same God that was there protecting and guarding and supplying the needs of those people, that same God is here today. And He's doing the same thing for us. And so you might say that this morning this message is really directed at people who have decided, hey, I want to follow after Christ. I want to be a person that is living for Him. I want to be a person that's, to use an old expression, sold out to Jesus. If that's you, then this applies to you. Maybe you're at a place where you're not really sure if you want to be totally sold out to God. You're not sure if you want to give God every part of your life. And maybe the fact that I'm standing up here and telling you that you're going to be insulted and you're going to be ridiculed if you do that, maybe that's causing you to have second thoughts about it. But let me just tell you this. Living a life as best you know how that brings honor to God is a life that is going to bring you that perfect peace that only God can give. And although maybe the road is not entirely smooth, and although maybe there's still some things that you deal with and there's some things in your life that you face along the way, you're never going to be happier. You're never going to be more content. You're never going to be more fulfilled in life until you decide, God, I want to give you everything. I want to give you my entire life. I want to live for you. And I want to honor you. My friends, that's a choice you make. You're in good company. 2 Timothy 3:12, I quoted this verse earlier, but I want to quote it to you from The Message, which is a paraphrase by a guy named Eugene Peterson. And he says this, anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. Anybody who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Man, that just makes it sound unavoidable. And the fact is, it is unavoidable. If you choose to truly live that way, you're not going to be able to avoid that trouble. It's on the horizon. It may be right in your path. You may wake up tomorrow morning and realize, oh man, this is it. So sticks and stones may break my bones. That's true. Words, are they going to hurt you? Definitely. You can definitely be tore up by something someone says to try to bring you harm because you're living your life for God. But I tell you what, there's no greater joy and there's no greater fulfillment in doing just that.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.